welcome to Federal Insights for February. What's next for intelligent automation and the federal government? Sponsored by Appian.
Robotic process automation, a way of improving operations and freeing people's time up for higher value work, has taken hold in an unlikely spot at the General Services Administration. Not in the IT staff, but in the office of the Chief Financial Officer. For the story, I spoke with CFO Gerard Bedorek. Let's start with a 50,000-foot view of what you're doing with robotic. How do you understand the meaning of the term, and how can it apply in finance?
Yeah. So robotic process automation applies in many areas. The financial area is one, but it's the automation of repetitive tasks through software. And things like scripts have been around for a while, but what's happened with RPA is you now have a technology that has employees excited in all functions across federal government and across private industry. And what we're able to do is automate repetitive tasks and take away low-value work from our employees.
And in the financial function at an agency, what are some of the repetitive tasks that your folks might be doing?
They are pulling information and data out of different systems. So if you really wanted to automate that, you would have to make significant investments in systems improvement and enhancements. RPA allows you to go do anything that a human does and to go gather data out of different systems and collect it and be able to review the meaning of that data. What we find is that we hire staff at a certain level and they are there to think through conclusions. And part of their job is going out and gathering data. So what we're able to do with RPA is eliminate some of the burden of gathering the data.
I guess that's the practical alternative to trying to create some master system that would incorporate all of the systems now that generate that data throughout.
Exactly. And if you think about what it would cost and the timing to build that, you can build RPA automations in weeks that do this. And they're also flexible. So as things change over time, you can change the automation.
And how did your channel, the CFO channel at GSA, even come to know you could do this, and how did you get started?
Yeah. So the CFO organization at GSA, I went to many different sessions where I saw some demonstrations and basically came back and said, we need to get this done. So you're asking me about the finance applications. We're doing them across nine different functions at GSA today. And we've learned the technology and how to set up the platform, how to work successfully with our IT organizations. So we're doing it for business units, for HR, for acquisition services. So we've had the opportunity to implement RPA across different functions.
So the financial function then has become kind of like GSA's center of excellence for RPA, and you're using what you learned in these other functions like acquisition and HR?
Yes, we are helping them set things up. And I'll just tell you that besides the automation, one of the key values of RPA is the ability to come in and evaluate a process to make it better, because before we automate a function, we have to document the process. And as part of that, we reevaluate the process. And in some cases, we found that we're doing work we could just eliminate, but we enforce the standardization and the movement towards efficiency. So that's very important.
Yeah, that issue of getting rid of business processes that no longer apply before you automate, you want to clean up and kind of modernize the process and the thinking. How do you do that? Because I would imagine that involves not just IT, or even if IT at all, but the people actually doing the work.
Yeah. So if you're thinking about implementing RPA from a full service perspective, the first thing you do is you go to an organization, explain what RPA can do, and you come up with use cases and potential applications. And then you evaluate the applications, and we make a decision of whether to proceed or not. So it's much like a private sector company selling an order to another company. So we get the order to go complete the RPA development. As part of that, we actually have a Six Sigma talent that comes in and evaluates the process that's in place and documents it, because you have to precisely program the requirements of the process.
Give us an example of the type of process that might have this applied to it that you looked at and said, this is a better way to, this is how the business logic should look in the first place.
Yeah. So one that, I'm fairly excited about is the leasing process across GSA. GSA has leases, over 8,000 of them, with different landlords for different buildings. And we have 11 geographic regions, and they all have a process that's a little bit different for managing these leases. In the end, they're responsible for the same activity. So as part of our automation, we don't do an automation for one region. We do an automation that can be adopted across all the regions. So as part of that process, they need to come in and pick the best process to perform the function. And if you can offer a process that's 30% automated, then everybody will move to that. So it's really a standardization process improvement opportunity.
Yeah, it's almost the result of getting things organized, because if you have eight regions and they're all handling leases and the financial aspects of leases or whatever other aspects of leases separately, that doesn't seem very efficient. And it seems like you could boil it down to one process, because a building's a building and an office is an office.
Yeah. And another example is just the prior approval of credit card purchases. And there's an approval process required. The mission folks in GSA, to use their credit card, had to go in and input information in the system. We now have automated that so that they're pushing a button and extracting the data they need from other systems. So that frees them up, but we're putting the information in place so that they can very easily get their transactions approved.
And do you employ the same tool for RPA regardless of the project? Do you have a library of them? And how did you acquire them?
Yeah, so there's software out there, and that's really the exciting development. There's software out there that makes this easy, much like a Microsoft Excel macro would make it easier to pull data from different worksheets. So the software is there, and that's what you employ. But the change management, the process documentation, the standardization, the platform are all important steps in making this successful.
Gerard Bedorek is the Chief Financial Officer at the General Services Administration. More from him after this quick break. I'm Tom Temin.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.
We're speaking with Gerard Bedorek. He's Chief Financial Officer of the General Services Administration. And I want to get back to the community of interest, or the center of excellence idea in the financial office. How did that come to be, and how come it wasn't, say, you know, the leasing department itself or building service and whatever?
Right. So there is a federal RPA community of practice. And as we rapidly accelerated, we went to other agencies that were further ahead than us, but we also had other agencies coming to us. So what we've been able to do is to bring agencies across government. We have over 800 members of the community of practice, all government employees, and they're there to solve some of the common challenges and to also share best practices and to mentor each other. So it really is an opportunity for federal government to come together and to think and talk about and collaborate on how they're implementing this technology and what the applications are, and just a terrific example of teamwork across agencies.
And is it GSA's CIO structure that actually does the implementations for you?
So it's interesting. The CIO structure is very important in setting up the platform and the infrastructure, but the actual programming can be learned by technically savvy individuals. So in the CFO office, we had 50 volunteer to learn the technology. We picked 12.
Wow.
And they worked on a part-time basis, but it's really everything around you have to learn the programming, but the technology is there. It's that documentation that you need to do, and the platform, and the other things that go around implementing this kind of change.
I guess the programming aspect is pretty much drag and drop types of boxes and so forth, and the machine does the coding underneath all this.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's exciting, because you had scripts and other types of automation that have been out there in the past, but with RPA you have a new technology everybody's excited about. So everybody's excited about automating federal government.
And when one of your folks that decided maybe not so much accounting, but I'd rather do some of this programming, are working, do they build part of the process and have it checked by people? I mean, do you do it in kind of a scrum way so that people can check before they get too far down the road with this automation?
Yeah, so we actually have what I'll call a sales and marketing process, which is to go in and sell the RPA concept and come up with the use cases. And then we bring in some process documentation expertise to come in and redesign the process if necessary, but to really document the process. Then the actual developer works on the step-by-step coding, and then the testing of that coding is signed off by the business owner. And IT is involved in several stages throughout this, because, you know, one of the first questions you think about when you're going to automate something is there something around the corner that IT will have developed that will make this no longer needed, right? So we work with hand-in-hand with the IT organization.
Plus, you're working on systems that are part of systems of record. I mean, it's the core financial information for the agency, so you have to do that with care.
Exactly. We work with the security officer within IT, and every automation IT approves and they're aware of. You work with the system owners to be able to access their systems. But it's such a benefit to employees. Employees actually come and say, can you automate this for me? So they're not scared of automation.
Yeah, that was my question. Do employees now realize this capability is there and they say, hey, this is what I do repetitively. Could you speed this up?
That's exactly the case. And we not only think about automation, we think about work that they can eliminate or optimize in addition to automation. So it really is changing the way employees think about what they do, and they are able to step back and see what can we do about this process and some of the tedious work that I have to do.
So in some ways you automate, but in other ways the act of automating makes the process itself efficient and you eliminate steps. So the automation itself is not that big a part of it so much as the cleanup of the process.
Yeah. I mean, one of the pilot processes we first looked at, we said, okay, this would be a great pilot. But when we went back and really looked at things, we realized we could just stop doing the work.
Yeah,
so
altogether.
That's elimination, right? And then in another case, IT said, we can very easily take care of this for you. And then optimization is doing it with less effort, and then automation. So we go through that as we look at any of the processes, and it's changing the way that we're thinking. In a financial office, we create burden on other parts of the organization to process their financial transactions. So we actually look for ways to make that work less effort for our partners and customers, and RPA has helped us to address that.
Has there been any impact on improper payments or waste, fraud, and abuse detection, that kind of thing?
I think there will be across federal government, especially at some of the big grant agencies, because an automation cannot be influenced or make a manual mistake. Once you program it, that is what it's doing.
And so do you have plans to move this over into, say, the fleet area and also the Federal Acquisition Service?
We have implemented an application that looks at contractor responsibility. Certainly in fleet and other areas, we've got a list of opportunities. We probably have we have about 8 months worth of work that we could do just in automations that are in the queue.
And do you have metrics or ways of measuring how much this is saving or how much faster things are going, or what are your metrics and how do you develop those?
So we care about how many automations we get completed and that are in production, and then we look at the hours of capacity we're freeing up and understand that we're not taking away anyone's job. What we're doing is reducing the amount of work. And what we keep track of is the number of hours of capacity we've created. And especially in areas where you're a bit backlogged and would need to hire more staff, you will not need to do that because of the benefits of this automation.
And where are some of the other members of the robotic process automation working group across the government? Who else do you collaborate with?
So there are over 50 agencies that are part of this, right? Yeah, it's everybody. We've hosted, we went through the Chief Acquisitions Officers Council, hosted a forum for acquisition professionals. We've done the same thing for finance for the CFO Council. We have a session planned for HR professionals sometime in April. So we're working at both on a functional basis and also a capability basis. So
some of your colleagues in the RPA are finance across the government, but some of them might come from totally different functions.
Yes, and in some agencies, you have applications that are being handled by a central office across different functions within the agency.
So as a finance person, you're probably learning a lot about what other people do to make agencies run.
Yeah, no, it's the finance function is just trying to drive more value, and we all have budgets, and you try to create the most value and good work you can out of those budgets, right? So that's an interest of CFOs, and we're really trying to drive that across the different functions. This is just not a finance solution.
Has there been interest from the inspectors general?
I can't really say across all agencies. I mean, certainly they're aware of what we're doing. I think from an audit perspective, it can actually be cleaner than having someone do manual work. And in some cases, we've inherited things that we needed to make changes to or to migrate, and we're able to do something. And 5% of the time it would take to do it manually, which is going to improve the accuracy of the overall process. I think it definitely will happen there. But today the business units and the functional CXOs are trying to solve the challenges and have RPA be as helpful as it can be.
Gerard Bedorek is the Chief Financial Officer at the General Services Administration. Hear the rest of the interview after this last break. I'm Tom Temin.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.
My guest is Gerard Bedorek, CFO of the General Services Administration. And there is an element in the president's management agenda on shifting people to higher value work, reskilling the federal workforce. Does this contribute to that in some way? It sounds like it does.
Yeah, it will in a big way. CAP Goal 6, which is shifting resources from low to high value activities, is one of the core goals, and you will, if you look at that, you'll see that RPA and automation is taking a broader role across the federal government. I think we can free up in the short term $1 billion of capacity if we can successfully implement a billion.
A billion.
That's the goal that we have, and it across the civilian agencies. If you get to somewhere around 8-9 hours per employee, you're there.
And I imagine in that leasing area that we spoke about earlier, it might make the government a better negotiator. You might get more efficient establishing of leases as offices change, or getting out of leases as the federal government is always trying to reduce the footprint and so forth.
Any place you have a little bit of a backlog or you've got work to do, it enables you to get to the meaningful work more quickly. So it will help with leases. One of the HR applications we just implemented was the ability for a hiring manager to get notified when the status of their hiring action was changed, because today you work with HR professionals and there's information that has to flow back and forth, and this allows the hiring manager to stay on top of that information, and you know when you need to do something right away, and there's no built-in delay, so the notification is automated.
And that brings me to the question of OPM. I just thought of that one, because they have a process to figure out retirement benefits, annuitants, and it takes them months and months. Have they sniffed around and said, hey, is there a way we can speed this process up?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked to some of the team at OPM, and you're right. That kind of repetitive activity is one that could be automated, and even if there's not a backlog, there's a time to process, and RPA can reduce the time to process.
And if OPM moves into GSA, then you'll get to it even faster, but that's not something you can really comment on, I don't imagine.
I don't think that matters. I think agencies have to make this happen on their own, and the thing about the community of practice is that, you know, we're not trying to make GSA hugely successful. We're trying to make the federal government hugely successful in RPA. And that's what's neat about the team that we have across government working in the community of practice.
And as a longtime finance guy, I mean, you came up through the ranks. Now you are a CFO. This must be kind of an exciting chapter personally.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you have to manage budgets tightly and not give everyone the budget they want and to force some tough decisions, RPA is actually a tool where you can make their job easier. And it's really a win-win for everyone. We just need to help agencies to move forward as quickly as possible to have this have a huge impact across federal government.
Gerard Bedorek is the Chief Financial Officer at the General Services Administration. If you missed any part of this interview, find it at our website, federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Federal Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for February. What's next for intelligent automation and the federal government? Sponsored by Appian on Federal News Network.
The Humane Rescue Alliance is cracking down on animal fighting in the district, but they need your help. If you witness any of the following signs of dog fighting, call 202-723-5730 option 3. Dogs with scars on their face, front legs, chest, thighs, and hind end, especially pit bull type dogs. Frequent movement of dogs, the same dog coming back with injuries. Dogs on heavy chains. Several dogs chained in close proximity to each other in a secluded area. Excessive barking or sounds of distress. Homemade electric treadmills or custom-made treadmills with a chain or a harness attached. Spring poles, which are usually made from raw hide, heavy knotted rope, or a tire that's suspended from a tree branch or a beam. Breadsticks used to break up fights, which are often made of wood or plexiglass, around a foot long and flattened out on one side. If you suspect dog fighting is taking place in D.C., call 202-723-5730 option 3. With your help, they can work to end animal fighting in the district.
Come out on April 25th for the area's largest event in support of breast cancer patients. The Stepsisters annual Ribbon Run Walk 5K in Ashburn benefits Northern Virginia patients currently battling breast cancer. Gather your friends, form a team, walk, run, or cheer. The Stepsisters fight breast cancer by supporting area patients. Services such as transportation and childcare are designed to ease a patient's mind and keep her in treatment. For more information or to register, please visit stepsisters.org.
For 9 years, Ben's Run has raised nearly $750,000 to support critical research at Children's National and improve the treatment of children with cancer. On Saturday, April 25th, runners will join Ben's Run at Stonegate Elementary in Silver Spring for the 10th and final run in the race to $1 million. Events include a 5K run, a 5-miler, and a 1-mile fun run walk, along with an on-site silent auction and food trucks. Registration and online fundraising information at bensrun.org. You can walk, run, or play for wishes. Superheroes of all ages are invited to join Make-A-Wish Mid-Atlantic for the annual Walk for Wishes and Wish Hero 5K on April 11th, 2020 at the National Mall. This year's event will feature a 5K race, a family-friendly walk, and pop-up workout classes along with music, food, and games for all ages. To register for the walk or run, visit midatlanticwishes.org and make your miles count for local wish kids.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.